Now, we mentioned about bandit signs earlier at the beginning of this when we started talking about sources. With bandit signs, if you have bird dogs or other people putting them out, the way you want to keep track of those is you want to use an app called Simple Crew, simplecrew.com, okay? Simple Crew is an app that's really, really simple to use, okay? And it's basically for street teams is what it's for, all right? It's for street teams. I'm going to see if I can pull mine up here right quick. And
we'll have pictures, by the way, below this video of these signs and of – there's a screenshot Larry has of the Simple Crew app.
This is the app, and you can see where we've put some of our signs out. And it shows me exactly what sign has been put out, when and where, and who put it out, right?
It puts a pin on the map where that picture was taken, right?
It absolutely does. It shows me exactly where it is. It's logging in now, but it shows me exactly where this sign is, where it was put out, right here. Shows me the exact location.
Nice.
Right? So Simple Crew, it's I think it's $50 a month, but you can add people to your team. You can assign them for projects. You can have them go out and take pictures of properties, and they take it with the app. When they take the picture with the app, it logs the picture, and it tells you who took the picture, where the picture was taken, and what time they took the picture, right? And then you can log in and look at it and upload it to your Dropbox if you want to, or your Google Drive, whatever it is you want to use. And then if you're paying people by the sign, you can look in and say, oh, Bob put out 58 signs today, right? You know when and where they put them out. It's a great way to keep track. That way you're not just giving somebody 100 signs and they come back the next day and say, oh, I put them out. Great, where are they? If you have Simple Crew, you know when and where they are and who put them out, right? And it's free for the user. It's $50 a month for us, but it's free for the user, okay?
Larry, do you ever pay your bandit sign guys to go drive for dollars and look for vacant houses?
You mean pay them like by the project or pay them commission?
Well, like for every vacant house they send to you while they're driving around, you pay them some money for that.
Yeah, we've done that in the past. We're not doing it right now, but I've done it in the past where, you know, I'll give you $10 for an address. I'll give you $20 for an address and a name of who owns it, and I'll give you like $25 if you bring me a phone number, right? It makes them stop and knock on the doors on each side and across the street to get the contact info for the seller.
There's a really good app called Deal Machine that you can get on your phone. There's about two or three apps. Deal Machine is one. I'll link them down below where you can you pay a certain monthly thing. You can have your bird dogs as they're driving around town. When they find a vacant house, they take a picture of it. It geolocates them, and it gives you the address of the property, and then you confirm yes or no that's the address. And then it skip traces the owner of that house, and you can, with a click of a button, send them a postcard with a picture of the house in the postcard. Or it adds them to your CRM, and you can get, when you get back, you can cold call them. We've done lots of deals with driving for dollars. First time we were doing this in Alabama, Larry, the guy who was our acquisitions manager, he was responsible for going out and hiring people. He put an ad, $20 an hour for driving for dollars, which is way too much money, right? But right. He didn't know. He just did it anyway, $20 an hour. And so he got flooded with calls and realized, oh, I think I'm paying too much. But one of those people that he did pay $20 an hour to, and they only worked for us for 2 days because it was expensive. But they found us a deal. I think we netted $23,000 on that deal. Just took a picture of it, you know, and got a bunch of addresses. We skip traced those addresses. We called them. So driving for dollars is really good. And I'll link down below, again, some of the apps that you can get that makes it super easy to send them a postcard and to cold call them and skip trace them and get their phone numbers and all that.
That's great. That is phenomenal. I love that. Deal Machine, another feature it also has is you can recruit team members like that and have two or three or four or five different team members out there driving for dollars, and you keep them separated. You know which team member got the lead, so you know who to pay whenever the deal closes.
Yep, very good.
Yeah, it's really cool. It really is. It really is. Another thing that you can do is to generate deals is co-wholesale with people. Now, some people get started co-wholesaling. You can negotiate whatever you want to. It could be a 50-50 split. They bring the deal. You put the deal together. You pay them 25% or 30% or 40%, whatever it is. Or you could keep anything over X. I'll keep anything over X, whatever the deal is. But there's a lot of people that, you know, one person has buyers, another person has lead deal flow, because you need deal flow, right? If some person has deal flow, but you've already started building your buyers list, you can co-wholesale together and both of you make money, right? Or maybe somebody else already has a great buyers list, but you're generating seller leads. You've got deal flow. They've got buyers. That's a marriage made in heaven right there, right?
That's good. Yeah, I love co-wholesaling. You just got to make sure you have in writing, and you got to make sure the person, you got to make sure you got the paperwork right. You have equitable interest in that property.
Exactly. And you got to be careful as well, okay? You've got to be careful as well, because some people want to go out and start an LLC with somebody else. Don't do all that stuff, right? Don't do all that at all. You know, you need either a good co-wholesaling agreement, either that, or one person say, I'm going to take this deal, right? I'm going to run with this deal, but you're going to get paid X, but make sure you protect yourself, okay? You could do a memorandum of interest or whatever it is. We'll talk about that later when we talk about closings, right?
Okay.
So you could also hire bird dogs. Bird dogs are great, and there's two different ways to pay them, by the deal, right? Or by the deal, which is commission, or by the project. In other words, you can pay them $20 an hour, like Joe was talking about, or $10 an hour, or pay them to, you know, for the lead, per lead, or you could pay them a commission just based on what they bring to the table that actually closes. You guys have probably seen these signs out before that says, real estate investor seeks apprentice, earn $10,000 to $20,000 per month. That's an investor looking for bird dogs. That's all that is, right, Joe?
And it works really, really well. I love bird dogs because you can make a lot of money with getting other people to do this stuff for you. We at one time, we don't do it anymore, but we had the system where we trained them. We put together a course that trains them on all of the stuff we're talking about now. We trained our bird dogs how to do direct mail, how to go to Craigslist, how to do bandit signs. And we told them, listen, bring us your deals. We'll pay you $1,000 for every deal you bring to us. And it works.
That's awesome.
Let me say one more thing about bird dogs. Because when you start advertising it, you'll get a lot of people that sign up. The goal isn't to get 100 people to be your bird dogs. The goal is to get 100 people apply and find those one or two guys out of that 100 who are really go-getters and aggressive. And then focus all of your time on them. Don't focus all your time on the 100. Find those one or two guys and just start pouring into them. Take them out to lunch, you know, buy them a beer or a coffee and train them on how to find deals for you, because it's a whole 80-20 Pareto's principle thing.
Absolutely.
Find those couple few guys they'll be the ones that bring you the deals. And be generous, you know, train them, give them lots of money, because they'll keep on working for you.
That's so true. That's so true. Invest in them. Feed into them, right? Help them. And it'll help you at the same time. Let's talk about telemarketing. It's probably been going on maybe close to a year now, but a lot of people now are getting into telemarketing. I tell all of our students, whatever direct mail list you have, you should have that list appended, and then you should start telemarketing that list. Joe, you want to talk about this? Because you're really big on this too.
Yeah, we're getting anywhere from 3 to 5 leads a day right now from our Filipino telemarketers. So, you know, our favorite list is absentee owners with equity, right? We can go into any market, pretty much any market in the U.S., pull a list of people who bought a property over 5 years ago that are absentee owners that have a lot of equity in the house, at least 50% equity in the house. We can take that and skip trace it. We use a company called Need to Skip. I don't get any commissions from them, but Need to Skip. There's a lot of them out there that they can do bulk skip tracing. Then we get the numbers. We have a team of VAs. We use Mojo Cells, which is an auto dialer that dials three numbers at a time.
That's the same
real person. Yeah, it's a real person behind the phone. And we're starting to use REI Simple now to do our cold calls. It doesn't do the three auto dialer, but it kind of organizes it a whole lot better. And it's done from inside of our CRM. If you're using Podio, you can use smartphone.io that Larry was talking about earlier. But get some kind of dialer. You know, you can make, you can have, with a good VA working about 3 or 4 hours a day. We don't want our VAs working, doing cold calling more than 3 or 4 hours a day. But you know, they could dial 300 to 500 phone numbers. And then we rotate through these lists. You know, we, the first round, we call all of the numbers between like 9 to 12. And then we go back the, you know, a week later and dial the, all of them again from like 12 to 3 and then 3 to 6. And we'll repeat that whole cycle about 3 or 4 times. And then we start. The other thing is cold calling your old leads. As you start doing this more and more, maybe your leads are a year old. Well, the best way to reach out to them again is to cold call them again. And telemarketing has been great for us. We're also now, Larry, combining SMS broadcasts. So we'll get their phone numbers and we'll text them. Now we're not, it's compliant because for three reasons, and I'm not an attorney, so talk to an attorney about this, but our attorneys have told us it's compliant because number one, we're not selling anything. Number two, we're these texts are personalized and we're sending them one at a time. They're not automated machines or robots that are sending thousands of texts at 1 second. Right. So we're personalizing it and we're sending these texts one at a time. But we're first texting them and then we're cold calling them. And we're just looking for people that raise their hands and say, yeah, I might consider an offer. We're not trying to pre-screen them or close them on the phone. Our VAs are just trying to find the ones that are interested in getting an offer, and then they schedule a time for us to talk to them on the phone.
That's great. That's really good. And guys, listen, all these things we're talking about are very, very, very important, especially in a small town, because you get people that they may not have email. They may not get on the internet. So you need a local bird dog. You need a co-wholesaling, somebody who either already has leads or already has buyers, right? You need somebody to put out your signs. You need to reach out to them over the phone, right? Or a postcard or whatever, because a lot of them aren't on the internet. That's just the way it is. You know, even hired landlords, they might be 70, 80, 90 years old and they're not on the internet. But if they see a sign or they get a phone call, they're going to take the phone call, right? They're going to take the phone call. They're going to call on the sign, right? So that's very important. That's why we're sharing these things with you, because it's very important, especially in a small town, right?
Yeah, yeah, it is. So, you know, we're going through a lot of things here, but pick one or two things, implement those first, and then pick something else and implement that later. So don't get overwhelmed by all of these things. Maybe telemarketing is like too advanced for you right now, and that's fine. Like, you don't worry about trying to go out and find VAs and learn how to skip trace and learn how to do Mojo Cells or whatever. Just do some bandit signs at first. Do some postcards at first. And we're going to talk about direct mail next here, but keep it simple. Don't get overwhelmed or don't complicate this stuff.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So let's jump into direct mail, okay? And with direct mail, a lot of people use direct mail. Why do they use it? Because it works, right? Mm-hmm. Because it works. A lot of people may think, oh, I tried direct mail. Here's the problem. You didn't try it. What was the word Joe used earlier? Consistently. You've got to be consistent with it, okay? If you're going to do direct mail, which I highly, highly recommend, that should be, in my opinion, that should be one of your main 5 to 10 ways. It should be one of the first ways you start, yeah. Right? Yeah. I highly, highly recommend it. And Joe feels the same way, I believe. But you know, it all boils down to you've got to make the phone ring, but with postcards, it works. Now, I don't mail letters. I mail postcards, okay? Number one, it's already opened, okay? Number two, it's cheaper, all right? So you can mail letters or you can mail postcards, but we mail one time a month, right? And we mail to non-owner occupants, right? Non-owner occupants, or some people call them absentee owners, with lots of equity, okay? They need to have owned the house at least 10 years. Some people will say 7, but I like 10 years, okay? We do not put anything but a phone number on the postcard. I don't want them going to a website or anything. But however, a lot of people will go to our website and opt in, you know, but we just had somebody yesterday did that. Hey, I got your postcard and I checked out your website. Call me, right? They didn't call the phone number though. They went to our website, right? So, and the only way they found our website was we had in our return address on the postcard, it said the name of our company. And we have a company, the way we do it, we have a company that buys our properties and or a website and a website that sells them. Like the entity we buy in is called Neighborhood Housing Group. And we have a company called neighborhoodhousinggroup.org. It shows our properties, how we help homeowners. We do seller financing. We offer rent-to-own programs, lease option programs, and we're helping homeowners. It's real community-based. So when somebody sees they got a postcard from us, they go to neighborhoodhousinggroup.org, and they see, oh, this company is helping people become homeowners. Yeah, let me call these people, right? Yeah. Yeah. The website we sell our properties is Investors Rehab. If you go to investorsrehab.com, I've had that domain for probably 20 years, right? Well, not that long, probably 15 years. But that when you go to that domain, you'll see all of our properties. That's where we wholesale our properties, because I don't want a seller going to Investors Rehab and seeing their property on my website and see, oh, I just sold it to them for 30, but they're selling it for 60 and they haven't even touched it yet. You know, I don't want that to happen, right? So if they research us, the entity name is Neighborhood Housing Group. The website is neighborhoodhousinggroup.org. It sounds community. It sounds like a nonprofit. You know, we don't tell people we're a nonprofit because we're not, right? But it sounds community. It sounds like a nonprofit. And if they see it, then they'll think, oh, this is great. I'm going to give those people a call, right? So, but we don't put our website on the postcard. That's the main thing I wanted to share with you, right?
Yeah. So that's really good. People will look you up anyway. And your websites, they're Investor Carrot websites. I like Carrot websites as well. If you just go to carrot.com, you can check them out. But they're simple websites, and you can see what Larry's done. Tell Carrot, hey, I want a site just like his, right?
Or I've got a special link they could go to and see my templates, what I use. It's LarryGoins.com/Carrot.
So LarryGoins.com. I'm going to write that down. LarryGoins.com/Carrot.
Right.
Very good. Nice.
So so the main thing about direct mail, you got to choose your list, right? Now, depending on what your budget is, if your budget is $5,000 to $10,000 a month, you're going to test your list. And once you test it, then you're going to roll it out, right? If you've got a large budget. But if your budget is $500 to a couple thousand, no need to test your list. Just use some list criteria like non-owner occupied. It could be probate. It could be inherited, you know, that sort of thing. Code violations, high equity. You want them to have owned it at least 10 years. Some guys on the West Coast, they'll mail owner-occupied buyers, but anywhere else, when we're talking about small town, you don't need to do that. Just mail non-owner-occupied. If there's enough in your market area, you can even focus on out-of-state owners. You don't have to do that, but if there's enough there, out-of-state owners, they don't really know what's going on with the market. They don't really know what's going on with the house. And they're so far removed from it, you can get those at a better price. Right, Joe?
Yeah, and I forgot my train of thought here because I was just texting somebody. Sorry about that. The direct mail and the lists is important. It's going to be, every county is different. Some of them are going to have a lot of absentee owners. Some of them are not going to have that many. Our advice is mail as many as you can. I mean, you could filter out too many people. So a simple list is just, they own a single family home or multifamily, and they've owned it for at least 2 years, and they're absentee owners. That could be as simple as that.
Right. It could be. And you can also run it through a system to do what's called list stacking, right? Yes. There's several sources out there that you can do list stacking, which means their own, and we mentioned this in a previous module, which means there might be absentee owners, they might be out-of-state owners, and they might be delinquent on the taxes. They're on three different lists right there, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you mail, Larry, you mail 30-something thousand a month. Is that right?
37.5. Before I forget about it, Joe, what's that main service that we know about that does the list stacking? List something management or something.
I will find out, and I'll put it in the links below. I don't know. I'm going to write myself a note to look for that.
Yeah, I can't remember right offhand. Exactly.
We'll find it later, and we'll put the link down below. But sometimes, you know, if you're targeting a small market, you're not going to have a huge list to mail to anyway. So if you, as you start growing, just mail them all, mail all the people that you can, cycle through that list. What is it?
Propertylistmanager.com.
Very good. Propertylistmanager.com. Good.
And we know the owner of it. You know, a lot of people in our mastermind use him to stack their list. So the whole purpose of list stacking is so you might have 50,000 names, but by the time you go through and you list stack it, there might only be 10,000 that you mail out, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Joe. You were on a roll.
Well, we get our data from ListSource. That's what I like the best. You know, for our personal coaching clients, we actually get the lists for them, and we help them skip trace it, and we right. help them mail it. We set that up with them and for them. But there's a lot of different options out there. Sometimes the harder the list is to get, the better, right? So if in your county, if you can go into court records and pull evictions, that's a great list to mail to. So you could hire a VA to pull that. But I like ListSource. It's not the cheapest, but it is one of the easiest. And it's owned by one of the biggest companies, CoreLogic, that gets the data. Melissa Data is another great place to go to get data as well. Well, let me say this too. I think we're going to talk about this later. Some of the mailing companies that do the direct mail will also help you get the lists as well. Do you have some mailing companies that you like to use, Larry?
I do. I've actually got one that has worked with me on my list criteria for small towns, and they also already have my postcards uploaded. So you don't have to send them a postcard. You don't have to say, I want this Larry's postcard, and I want you to edit it. You know, they've already got the postcard. They've already got the list criteria. They've already got everything. And Joe, if you'll put the link down below, that would be great. And they also have a concierge service. So if you start filling out online, ordering your list, you know, setting up your direct mail campaign, which I highly, highly recommend, go ahead and set up 90 days, 3 months worth of it. Yeah. And they'll schedule it out and bill it to you, right? So, yeah. and bill you once a month. So go ahead and schedule out 90 days. But they have a concierge service that you can email them. You can get it on the phone. They'll walk you through it or even do it for you while you're on the phone. So I don't make anything off of it. It's not an affiliate, so to speak. But I do it because it makes it simple for the students, okay? Good. And that way they know they're getting a good list. They know that they're getting a good postcard. And they know that it's a done for you. It's as done for you just about as you can get without – you know, hiring a coach or a mentor and them actually doing it for you.
Good. What is that website?
It's gobigprinting.com/Larry-Goins. And Joe, I'll get you the link so you can put it below. But it's gobigprinting.com/Larry-Goins.
Good. I just clicked it. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, good.
It's a good link. Good. All right. So where are we at now? We're going to talk. We talked about how to get the list or what kind of list to get.
We talked about that, but that's all done for you at GoBig. There's another thing you can do that I wanted to mention before we talk about prospecting. Remember, marketing and prospecting. Then we're going to talk about, you know, online properties or listed properties. But you could also hire a marketing partner, right? One person does the deal. The other person puts up the money. If you know somebody that wants to get into real estate investing, but maybe they don't know what they're doing, but they have some marketing money, have them put up the marketing money. You run the leads, do the deals, and you guys split the profit. It's like having a marketing partner, right? They pay for the marketing. You do all the work, right? You do all the work, and then you split the deal, right?
So, I've done that a lot. I've done that. I love that model.
I know a guy. There was a guy, one of my partner students. That's all he does. He handles the marketing, and he's got a team set up, and they do all the work, but he generates the leads. He pays for it, and then they do all the work, and they split the profit. Is that great or what, right?
You heard me tell my stories of how we did deals while traveling around Europe and traveling in our RV for months at a time. That's exactly what we did. I paid for the marketing. I got the VAs. I get the systems up. I give to my local partners on the ground pre-screen motivated seller leads. They do the rest. We split the deal, make 50-50.
There you go. That's good.
Super important.
Now let's talk about prospecting, okay? Prospecting is reaching out, right? It's not making the phone ring. It's reaching out to somebody that may already, you know, have a property for sale or whatever. And there's a lot of different ways to do that. And I'm going to kind of give you a quick rundown about it. You know, if you're out there prospecting in newspapers or Craigslist or online ads or whatever it is, you know, there's certain keywords you're going to look for, right? I mentioned them earlier, handyman special, fixer upper, cheap cash, divorced, all that stuff, right? You're prospecting, you're going to call them, right? You're going to look for certain keywords. There's courthouse. You can find properties that are at the courthouse steps. And you can bid on foreclosures every day. Like I was at a RIA meeting just last night, and there was an attorney talking, and he said tomorrow, which is today when we're recording this, there were 12 foreclosure sales in Mecklenburg County. Right now, I don't go there, right, because I don't buy in Mecklenburg County. That's where Charlotte is. But there were 12 just today. He said a couple of years ago there were about 25 a day. Right? So it's really slimmed down, but there's still foreclosures out there, right? You can also prospect, you know, and reach out to attorneys and people who are going through divorce, foreclosure, delinquent taxes, out-of-town owners, code enforcement. You can reach out to people who are under code enforcement. Go knock on their door. It's public information. It's public information. You can get that from the local code enforcement office, and they'll give you a list of the properties that are under code violation. And you can either pick up the phone and cold call them, or you can go out and knock on their door or leave them a notice on the door, right? Or here's what you really want to do. If you can't get anybody to call you back or you can't find the owner of a vacant property, just go put a for sale sign in the yard. I promise you, they'll find you.
That'll work. You know, another good place to go get lists, if you can, are people that have had their water turned off.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Water
shut off. You're going to have to get creative.
Yeah. I told you guys the other day in a previous module about the snake house. Remember that? That lady was living in her house with no water. Right? No water and no electricity. No water and no electricity. Right? And it's amazing that people will do that. It really is. But there's some people in that situation. And we were able to put some money in her pocket, which was really cool. We made some money and we put some good money in her pocket, right? There's bail bonding companies. Did you know a lot of bail bonding companies get into the real estate business by default? Because people will put up their house as collateral for a son, a daughter, a grandson, a niece, a nephew, you know, to keep them out of jail, right? And then they skip bail. So bail bonding companies, they get into real estate by default. Home inspection companies too. Home inspection companies know about deals that fell through because of a home inspection. Reach out to them. Auctions. We're going to talk about auctions here in a minute, but moving sales. When you see, Joe mentioned this earlier, moving sales, garage sales, ask them, what do you take for the whole place, right? So, and there's also people trying to get into senior centers. You can put up ads on bulletins into senior centers in small towns. There's a lot of senior centers, retirement centers, assisted living centers in small towns. Go to the bulletin board and put up signs, right? Put up a little note, put up a flyer, a post-it or something. Just put it right there. And you're going to attract people that have a property for sale that want to get into a senior center, right? And we already mentioned attorneys and CPAs. That's another good source. Insurance adjusters. One of the biggest deals I ever did, I got from an insurance adjuster. And they know the properties that have fire damage. And then there's also private money and hard money lenders that that know when they take back a property, they're not going to sell it. I mean, they're not going to keep it, so they need to sell it, right? So hard money lenders and private money lenders. There's also mail carriers. Mail carriers are in the neighborhood. They see the vacant houses. They see the ones with the foreclosure notice coming to them. They see the ones that are getting two or three letters from their lender every month, right? Those are the ones that are delinquent. I remember, you know, Tom Nardone, he used to have a court. It was geared toward working just with mail carriers, right? Generating the leads. And he started investing in real estate because he was a mail carrier. So he started doing that and buying deals. Basically, anybody in the neighborhood. When you're driving around through a neighborhood, I don't care if you see a garbage collector, a pizza delivery person, a meter reader, meter shutoff workers, process servers, lawn service companies, whatever it is, whoever's in a neighborhood, stop and give them one of your cards, give them one of your flyers. Those are great, great sources for referral partners or bird dogs to send you deals, right? You're just out prospecting. You're trying to get people to send you deals, right?
Good.
What about eviction court? I call that the landlord lounge, right? Go to these small towns, go into the eviction court. How many people you think are there trying to prospect to the landlord that just had to evict a tenant, and they know that they got to go in and rehab that house, paint and carpet every time a tenant moves out. And if they had to evict them, the tenant probably trashed it. So those are great sources as well.
You know, a lot of counties these days are coming online, and the courts are actually putting their cases online for public records because of sunshine laws. And so I know in Missouri, in every county in Missouri, you can go to Missouri CaseNet and pull up all of the court cases, and you can have a VA every day or once a week look for the evictions. Well, how do you figure out who to mail to? Well, the plaintiff is usually the landlord. You get the plaintiff's address right there, and the defendant is usually the tenant, and they're living at that house. So that's the address of the house, and you can look up owner records to see what the mailing address of that property is. But usually online, go look to see. You'll have to dig a little bit, make a few phone calls, find out how can I get this information online, because it's out there.
Great point, Joe. Great point. There's also nonprofits. Nonprofits, they need money to operate. People sometimes will donate property to them, and what are they going to do with it? They don't need the property. What they really need is cash to help their mission, right? So they sell them, right? They sell the properties. In small towns, small little towns, you have a lot of times you have bus benches, right? They have benches sitting out in the town, uptown, and you can rent space on those. You can buy ads on those little bus benches in small towns. And I know one guy in small town, he used to buy ads on the bus benches, and on the left side of the bus bench, it would say, I buy houses, any condition, cash. On the right side, it would say, I have newly remodeled homes with owner financing. Right? It was really neat. It was. Mobile home dealers. A lot of times people will want to trade in their existing home and buy a new mobile home, especially in the small towns, guys, because you have a lot of mobile homes in small town. Small town USA has a lot of mobile homes, double wides, single wides. So the mobile home dealers know the people who want to buy a new home, but they've got to sell their existing home first, right? They got to sell their existing home first. The fire departments, go around as you drive by in these small towns, go to the local fire department. When you drive by, see one, just pull in, right? There's somebody there. Just pull in. They know where the houses are with fire damage, okay? They know where the houses are with fire damage. And get the information, look it up, send them a postcard, cold call them, go by and see, whatever, right?
Very good.
Also, make sure that you are involved in any landlord association. Even small towns, a lot of times, will have a landlord association. They may not have an investors association, but a lot of times they'll have a landlord association as well, right? Yep. So let's talk about MLS, okay? Let's talk about listed properties, all right? This is not going to...
I'm sorry. I am 20 minutes late to a podcast. Could we finish this? Could we finish this later?
Oh, yeah. No problem. Let's just back up and or we can back up and say, or you can just cut it off right there.
I'll cut it off and we'll go into the MLS.
All right, cool.
Is that okay?
That sounds good. I meant to ask you what time we needed to stop.
Yeah, I should have.